The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network studios.
Great Monday. Thanks for being with us. I was all over the place this weekend at the track yesterday for NASCAR, Saturday at the ASU game, Friday night stormed a high school sideline, found out my son is going to have some serious surgery. He's got a hip that's rotated, and we've got to go next week to the Stedman Clinic up in Vail, and I'll talk more about it because it's really interesting how this all came to be. And if you're a dad of a high school kid or a junior high kid, and you go through all the well checks and you go through all of the, you know, the exams and all that stuff before seasons start, and then nothing's there, nothing happens. It's, oh, you're clear to play. And I'm not blaming anybody on this. It's just, it's his strength coach is the one that pointed it out that you might want to go get checked because you're squatting differently for a 14-year-old. His right leg was pointed outward. So this happened about 2 weeks ago, 2.5 weeks ago. And in the last 2.5 weeks, my wife took him to Vail up to the Stedman Clinic. And we saw Mayo and we saw some other people. And so surgery's coming. I'm going to be spending Thanksgiving morning in a hospital in Vail, Colorado. That's, you know, that's just where the weekend went. It was just all these plans and people wanting to help out. And it's really been... it's been humbling, I'll put it like that. We are launching a second TV show because we just don't do enough. Eric, do you think we should do like a third show, a fourth show? Is there a show that you've wanted to do? You're big into animals. You're big into cooking, eating out, going to comedy clubs. Should we do like Eric Does Arizona show?
Nah, that wouldn't be very entertaining.
Are you excited about the second show? You're not in it yet. Because I'm going to...
Sure. I'm excited about everything we do.
Are you?
I am.
Well, that's good.
I don't really completely understand what the show is going to look like until I see the first show. But
first show's tonight at 10.
I have a pretty good idea.
First show's tonight at 10. I want to just, you know, we do a lot here on football. And we have things that life doesn't just start and stop with football, in spite of what people think. I like football. We all like football here as we've done this through the years. But there's times where it's just, let's go do something different. Like, you work at a rescue shelter, right?
Well, I volunteer.
You volunteer.
I work.
You volunteer at a rescue shelter. And there's probably been, how long have you been there?
Since the summer. So, a few months.
So, you've probably had some people that came in that were tear-jerking stories, or some of the pets, the animals that were there that were tear-jerkers. We want people to cry. That's what we're getting at. If you can get people to cry and watch a show, they'll do it all day long. So
I guess, yeah. I mean, we don't want the whole show to be about just people crying.
But maybe it's about athletes and their pets. Maybe you've got the type of deal that, I don't know, I could throw a player at you that you've covered in high school, and now they're professional. You might know a couple of those guys, and they may have a pet. Maybe something different.
That'd be kind of cool.
Maybe something just out of the blue.
Go to the dog park with an athlete and their dog?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that'd be kind of fun. But no, this show, so... We're going to go real heavy on this show tonight on Fox, Fox Sports Arizona. It's at 10 o'clock on the open playoff. And for some reason, I'm letting Ralph and Chili do 13 minutes with me.
There's an open playoff? Really?
I know, right?
I hadn't really heard much about that.
I actually went out Friday night to Cole's High School, and they ended up winning with ease. And... the kids were all excited. The stadium was filled. The bands were still there, and they're not in the open playoff.
Castile.
What do you know?
Castile High School.
Okay, I'll say Castile.
It's okay. And who did they play?
They played Ironwood Ridge.
Okay. Team came up from Tucson.
Team from Tucson. Glenn Parker's kids on that team.
Yep. Remember you telling me about that.
And so this week they play Millennium. Jalen Early. He's good, huh?
He's very good. And yeah. It was cool to see some upsets in the first round.
Wasn't cool for Jason Jewell. I talked to him Saturday morning.
No, but the AIA...
Poor Jason.
The AIA wants more equality
in
the regular playoffs.
Right.
And it's good. You know, the one and the two seed aren't just completely destroying teams like we've seen in the past. So.
No, the 2-seed got destroyed by a 15-seed.
Yeah, they did, but that's life. Great year for Brophy. Let's not take away from that. So,
our opening comments are brought to you by Sagicor. Now protect what matters most, and that is with life insurance. We are now coming up to the middle of November. It's been over a year now since I've got my license, and I've helped people out. I'm currently helping some people out, and it just, they come along and say, hey, I've not checked into my life insurance, or I have a 401k that I haven't rolled over, and I've gone on to my next job, and I feel overwhelmed. Let's just breathe. It's okay. Log on to Sagicor now, get a free quote on life insurance, and there's lots of things at Sagicor now that they can help you out with if you're just starting out. If you're like, man, Brad, I have not had time. I got nothing and I'm 60. I've got nothing and I'm 70. I've got nothing and I'm 20. It doesn't matter, okay? You just have to start at some point in time. Protect what matters most, and that's with life insurance, and that's with Sagicor. We have on the show today Chris Spielman, who's going to be with us shortly, NFL on Fox. He was there and watched the Cardinals get hosed at the end of the game. But in fairness, did they screw up at other times in the game? Were there enough ways, shapes, and forms that the Cardinals should have won yesterday in Tampa Bay? And the answer is yes. When it comes down to it was all the officials' fault, I don't do well with that. Now, there are some who will never, ever accept anything short of that. I think that copping out on officials, but you have to look at the other side of it and say the final play of yesterday's game in Tampa Bay should have been reviewed, should have been overturned, should have. But it was everything that led up to that. Michael Fabiano is going to be with us. Our Monday Fantasy Football Corner with the NFL Network Senior Fantasy Analyst, his weekly segment. We'll talk with him on everything fantasy related. And then Brock Huard is going to come on board. So Saturday night, I was able to sit and listen to Brock gush about Brock Purdy, former Perry quarterback, of course. And Brock was there for the Iowa State-Oklahoma game. I was at the ASU game earlier in the day, which was a travesty and a debacle in a game that set the game of football back, I don't know, a few years, because there were so many penalties and so many boneheaded plays that were made. So we're going to talk with Brock. And also, look, today in college football, Eric, you were at TCU and Baylor, right? You were at the big, was it?
I was. Big rivalry game.
And that game ended in overtime.
Three overtimes.
And that game ended up with Baylor beating TCU.
I don't want to remember, but yes, I believe that's what happened.
If you were in the committee room with Paula Bovin, because Paula is part of the professor is part of the CFP, where would you put Baylor?
They're a top 15 team.
Okay. Were you watching other college football Saturday?
Not much. I did watch Bama and LSU most of the game.
So I went early. I actually took the rail down to the ASU game. I just like riding the train, and it was packed with ASU fans. I went over to a little sports bar, sat by myself, and just hung out and watched Minnesota just destroy Penn State. It was great.
I plan on watching the highlight show back tonight. I got in late last night, but I'll recap everything.
Minnesota's fun.
They're fun. They're fun.
They're not a playoff team.
I don't think so, but they're a fun team.
So is LSU 1, Ohio State 2?
It doesn't matter. Those, however you want to put it, those are the two best teams in college
football.
Well,
LSU to me has got to be 1.
I think so too.
Because look, they beat Alabama. Exactly who – Ohio State has crushed everybody. I understand that. But if I'm talking about resume and big wins, then Clemson is not 1 or 2. They haven't played anybody, but the big question is, who's 4? If Alabama makes 4, then all it is, if tomorrow night, 4th team is Alabama, they haven't played anybody.
Right.
They lost at home. They never lose at home. That's right. Like their 5th loss in the last 11 years at
they
home.
They haven't lost in 32 games at home or something ridiculous like that.
So they never lose. So that's got to count against them. And now Alabama, of all teams, needs help to get into the playoffs. They need help. They actually need Auburn. Please, Auburn. We're Alabama. We need you to help us beat Georgia.
But we've seen the committee do head-scratching things in the past. Yeah. So we can try to sit here and predict, okay, well, this team might make it. This team might not make it. It would not surprise me if Alabama found a way to get in because
– I'd be disappointed.
I would be too. But what does – besides having the 4 best teams, what does the CFP really want? They want eyeballs. They want eyeballs
on TV.
Yeah,
they want TVs.
They want Nick Saban. They want Tua. They want to see if Alabama's defense can play against Clemson or can shut down Ohio State's offense. Yeah. I know they couldn't.
Yeah.
But the crazy thing was they had a chance at the end to at least I don't know. Onside kicks are hard to come by, but they had a chance despite playing horribly, despite giving up all those yards. They still had a chance.
if Minnesota runs the table, does it matter?
Yeah, if any Power Five team runs the table, they have just as good an argument as any one loss team, in my opinion, regardless of how difficult the strength schedule is.
Because if Minnesota runs the table, then they would have to go through Ohio State in the Big Ten title game.
Exactly. And Ohio State still has resume games coming up. I mean, they play Penn State, they play Michigan, who's playing much better, and then they have to go play the other side of the Big Ten, which this year will be Minnesota. But I just can't see Minnesota hanging with Ohio State. So
I was at the ASU game and was just all the enthusiasm around Herm. I swear to you, this is the most fragile fan base, because they immediately lose, and I get these CTG, this wouldn't have happened, Coach Todd Graham and all that nonsense. I mean, he's not here, okay? And he left the program, in terms of talent, lacking severely. Yep. So anybody who's going to sit here and say, well, they would have beat U.S., both those teams on Saturday were just not good. And fortunately for most of America, they were watching LSU and Alabama, which was on at the exact same time. So nobody could watch this travesty.
That freshman quarterback for USC played pretty well, whatever his
backstory. He's not bad. Did you see Keaton play much at Desert Mountain?
No. I saw him play in the summer, and I think I saw one game of his at Desert Mountain.
So I saw him one of the streams that we carried. It was Chaparral against Desert Mountain, and he outplayed Jack that night, Jack Miller. He just did. And Kurt Warner was a quarterback coach over at Desert Mountain. He has his NFL obligation, so he was leaving games before they ended. So it was hard to really get a gauge from Kurt about how is he in crunch time. Man, he looks good.
He does look good, and he's the poster child for kids that are getting recruited. If that big school comes along and that's your dream offer, take the offer, because that's exactly what Slovis did. USC came around, they offered, and within 2 days he committed, and now he's a true freshman quarterback starting at USC.
I'll tell you the other
Not
guy.
Not too
that,
shabby.
I'll tell you the other local quarterback that was impressive. How about Kyle Allen?
How about Kyle Allen?
In
how
the
about,
snow.
How about Chase Cord at Boise State, now getting a ton of run?
Kyle Allen, I'll stick with him for a minute. If Carolina now is in a space where they could save $19 million by cutting Cam Newton, because Kyle Allen has shown that he can play, and I don't know what they're going to do there, but in the snow yesterday, Green Bay, I don't know how much snow Kyle Allen has played in through his career.
Probably none. It was great. They showed his family, and they looked like they were popsicles. I mean, they're just—they're all bundled up. The snow was falling, but yeah, it was a cool moment for sure.
All right, Chris Spielman on the other side, then Michael Fabiano and Brock Huard. I'm Brad Sussmat. Let's turn our attention now to the Cardinals game yesterday in Tampa Bay, and also just get a deep dive feel from one of the best in the business, two-time All-American at Ohio State, three-time All-Pro player in the NFL, Chris Spielman, NFL on Fox. He and Tom Brenneman, our good buddy, were doing the game yesterday, where the Cardinals come up not just short, but many, many feeling like they got hosed on the final play of the game, time expiring, Kyler Murray's deep throw to Farrell Cooper, Jamal Dean hit Cooper, ball arrived, no flag was thrown, and the world has melted down out here, Chris, since that took place. You were there. What did you think?
Well, Tom asked me. I said I thought it was a defensive pass interference, and I was surprised, like everybody else, that it wasn't reviewed in New York. I mean, New York's the only one that can stop it and review it, and I was a little surprised. But, you know, I think there's plays here and there throughout the game that can – determine the outcome. I think the Cardinals, one thing you can look at is there are three big plays, in my opinion, or four, that they had in that cost in that game. The first one was in the first or second series. Kyler Murray had Farrell Cooper open on a corner route in the end zone and missed him badly, where he was wide open.
Yep.
And that was a missed opportunity. I think Max Williams dropping the ball for a touchdown was a missed opportunity. The misalignment by Murphy on the O.J. Howard touchdown. That was a mental error. So these are all self-inflicted wounds, right? And I thought, you know, I thought Jordan Hicks could have wrapped up Godwin, who caught the ball in a slant and gained 25 more yards because he didn't wrap up. Now, regardless of that all being said, certainly the Cardinals should have had that opportunity to at least tie it with a field goal on that last play.
Well, where do you go on this in the way that the league is head scratching, I think, is the best way to put it, on what is pass interference, what is not. Because every week, Chris, it feels like there's controversial calls. This one just happened to fall on the team out here in Arizona.
It's going to be, I mean, it's subjective, right? And it's got to be really egregious to overturn it. And what may seem clear to you might not be clear to me. Mm-hmm. So I don't, there's no standard set. I do think, though, that the league at the very least should have looked at that yesterday. And like I said, Tom asked me at the end of the game that I think it was a possible defensive pass interference. And yeah, he was there before the ball arrived, but they didn't call it. And they should have probably reviewed it, and they didn't. And that's the way it goes. But they see, that's where, like, the Cardinals and Bucks, I mean, the Cardinals are going to be good. I see improvement, much improvement from last year. It's like a different team from last year. But right now they're not at the point where they're good enough to overcome self-inflicted mistakes or missed opportunities. And that's what that game boiled down to yesterday for me. I mean, I get people mad about the call. They also should be saying, well, we had some opportunities that we left on the field. And that's, in order for us to be able to take that next step, we must not let those easy plays go. Like, and I get the sun was in Max's eyes. And he's a good player, and I love the guy, but you got to catch the ball.
Yeah.
That's just it. You got to catch it. There's no other way around it. And Jordan's too good of a player not to wrap a guy up. I mean, why would you go in and shoulder bounce a guy, especially if you got a scouting report on Godwin who you know is strong after the catch? I don't get it. So, you know, we can complain all we want about PIs.
Chris Spielman with us for a couple of minutes. NFL on Fox. No, you're good. You're good. Chris Spielman with us, NFL on Fox, for a couple of minutes. Give me a deep dive on what you see out of Kyler Murray and the things you like about the direction the Cardinals are going, Chris.
Well, I mean, you know, he set a record for not throwing interceptions, and I'm not sure that record would not still be intact if the receiver doesn't fall down. He protects the ball. He makes good decisions. I think he knows the offense better than anybody. He and Cliff know it better than anybody on that team. I think everybody's starting to catch up with it. I think Cliff has done a great job of coaching through injuries. I mean, they're competitive every game. You had Justin Pugh playing tackle, who's a guard, and he battled out there. So all these things to me are good signs. I think Kyler can be a running quarterback in this league. I don't know if you saw the graphic, or I put together – three reasons why I think a running quarterback like Kyler Murray can be effective and healthy in this league is, one, he knows how to protect himself. Two, the rules are set up to protect him. And three, the defensive mentality has changed back from when I played where, you know, you get a running quarterback, guy goes down, you're going to take a shot on him. Here, guy goes down, you see defenders about 3 or 4 yards away from the quarterback start to pull up. So he can protect himself, and you know he's accurate with the football. He understands, and I think he's going to be a great player. And I give credit to Steve Keim. You know, wasn't working with Wilkes and Josh last year.
Yep.
He blew it up and started over. And I give credit to Bidwell for allowing him to do that.
How close are they out here? They're in this tough division, but a year ago, nobody would have predicted the Rams would be a 500 team at this point of the season. You look at their roster. You just did the game. How far away are they out here?
I think they're really close. I really do. And there's, you know, the NFL is crazy, right? We don't know what's going to happen week in and week out. Look what the Falcons did to the Saints.
Yeah.
I mean, who would have thought that, right? I just think they're a few players away. I think defensively they can get a little bit better and maybe a few more depth guys and maybe get some more guys on that defensive line. I think the offensive line, it's too bad that they're on their third tackle with Justin Pugh. Marcus Gilbert, I knew, got hurt in training camp. They're not far away. I really believe that. And if a healthy Chase Edmonds is a difference maker to me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when Chase comes back, I don't know if people like to hear this or not, but I think he's your number one back. I got to believe I'm not the only one that feels that way.
No. I'm right there. I'm right there with you. David Johnson's time here is coming to the end. I feel that for what you're paying and what you're getting, it's just not happening.
Yeah. So I really like Cliff. I mean, the thing about him is the guy is he doesn't have an ego. When they weren't running the ball and all of a sudden they're going a lot of 12 personnel, one back, two tight ends, they're able to run the ball. He's able to adjust his offense. I just think he and the thing I also like about him is, like, you know, he understands he's still learning how to be an NFL head coach. And for a guy to humble himself that way and yet still grow and learn, I think he's going to be really good. I just think it's not far away at all. But like I said, you don't have the luxury of missed opportunities if your team right now, like the Arizona Cardinals or the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, you're not the Green Bay Packers yet, or you're not the New England Patriots, where you can overcome some of those mistakes. Right now, they're just not quite good enough to do that.
I'll let you go off that. I appreciate your time and your insight, Chris. Thanks.
Okay, take care.
It's Chris Spielman with us, NFL on Fox. Good stuff there. I could have gone on with him about the Chase Young suspension at Ohio State. When we've had Chris on in the past, you talk about a passionate Buckeye. Appreciate his time. Chris Spielman there with us. Back after this timeout. Thanks again to Chris Spielman for jumping on board for a couple of minutes. We will have Brock cured momentarily, but first and foremost, the Hall of Famer jumps in. That is Michael Fabiano. It's always good to catch up with Michael from the NFL Network, all things fantasy football. If I had to choose between Jared Goff or Phillip Rivers, if I'm in Los Angeles, I'm doing my fantasy, and I'm looking at these two quarterbacks saying, what in God's green earth is going on here? Where do I go?
Yeah. You may want to pass on both of them. I mean, this week it would be Rivers because they're playing the Chargers. I believe they're playing the Chiefs. That's a game over in Mexico on Monday night, while Goff is at home against the Bears. And Goff's just, he's regressed. He's just not a good quarterback right now. And someone who, to be quite honest with you, should be on the waiver wire in fantasy leagues.
Wow. You're just willing to blow him out, huh?
It's the truth. Listen, there's a lot of good quarterbacks out there. You could see playing a guy like Josh Allen every week over someone like Jared Goff. I mean, if the matchup's right, Goff is a guy you can stream. But last year, this is a player who was starting almost every week in your fantasy lineups. And now you can't trust him. You just can't. The two previous games that he had played were against bad opponents, and he put up decent stat lines. This week, he ran into a tough opponent, and this coming week he's got another one. So he's a guy that I'm fading. You can't always look at last year's production and start a guy based on name value alone.
I know.
And we've actually seen that with several players this year, including Todd Gurley and Juju Smith-Schuster, just to name a few.
Yeah, the Rams, though, are just actually both L.A. teams from a fantasy standpoint. I've got Austin Eckler, and I've hung with him, you know, and Gordon is coming back, and he's playing really well, but I just feel like both LA teams, if you've got players on either one of those teams, you are really rolling the dice to do anything this year.
Well, it's honestly more the Rams. I mean, Cooper Kupp, I don't know what happened yesterday.
Nothing.
It was a weird game.
Yeah, it was.
There were some weird games there because, like, Drew Brees, how does he score 10 points against the Atlanta Falcons? Like, that defense is trash. And they scored 9 points in that game. He had 10 fantasy points. It was terrible. And then you see what happened with Saquon Barkley. I had to do a double take. 13 carries, 1 yard. I mean, if Vince Lombardi were around, he'd be saying, what the hell is going on out there? It was just very strange. The Chargers actually have had some pretty, you know, Gordon's back to being Gordon. Eckler still has standalone value. Keenan Allen had 8 catches last week, although he had been a bit of a disappointment. Hunter Henry's been really good since he's come back from the knee injury. And honestly, it's funny because I just mentioned this on a podcast. When you look at the Rams' offense, maybe the only guy you can trust every week outside of Cooper Kupp, and I think yesterday was sort of an anomaly, is Gerald Everett. He's been really good because Goff's been checking down more often this season than he had last year.
Michael Fabiano, the Hall of Famer, with us from the NFL Network. Derek Carr the next week says the Bengals and the Jets. So I'm looking long and hard at what to do. I've got Kyler and I've got Russell Wilson, and I'm going to trade one of them. Derek Carr, there's somebody, right? I'm getting questions on quarterbacks the next few weeks.
Yeah, really good. Really good. I didn't like him last week because the matchup was tough against the Chargers. But as you mentioned, two really good games based on the numbers in a row for Derek Carr, who's going to be a popular guy to pick up off the wire. If you have Aaron Rodgers, you have Russell Wilson, who are both on buys in week 11. So, yeah, Carr's a really nice play. Nick Foles is somebody to pick up if you need a quarterback as well, although I like Carr a little bit more because of the matchups. But Nick Foles is back. as the starter in Jacksonville. So he's someone that you can potentially go out there and stream as well.
Okay, getting a lot of questions from the mailbag, Michael. OBJ, where is he at here? He's not a number one anymore, or is he?
Yeah, I mean, no. I mean, all you can do is play him. You can try to trade him. You're not going to get much in terms of a return, at least not what you would have gotten if you try to trade him, you know, a week after the draft, let's put it that way. And the good thing is that Baker actually forced him the ball. He had a lot of targets yesterday. But, I mean, that whole Browns offense outside of Nick Chubb has really been unreliable for fantasy owners. Let's just put it that way. So unless you can try and trade OBJ and get some sort of value with him, I don't know that you have many options other than to just sort of play him every week and hope things get better.
Chris Godwin, Tampa Bay, where are you at? A lot of questions today in the mailbag.
I know. I mean, he hasn't scored a touchdown in a while. It's been just all Mike Evans. I still like this kid a lot, and I feel like he'll turn things around. Good news this week is that it looks like Marshawn Lattimore is not going to play for the Saints, so that's a better matchup. And then he's got Atlanta coming up in Week 12, which is a cakewalk. He's also got Detroit and Houston in the final 2 weeks of the fantasy postseason, so I'd stick with Chris Godwin.
Devontae Freeman's injury means Brian Hill in Atlanta. Talk to me about that.
Yeah. And he's got a really good matchup against the Panthers. He's probably going to be the most added player off the wire this week. He showed some flashes this past week. I get it. It was a small sample size, but Carolina's defense is bad against the run. I mean, you know, Aaron Jones had, what, 3 touchdowns against them yesterday. They're just not good. So Brian Hill comes into a spot where potentially as a featured back, unless Atlanta goes out and signs somebody, he is going to be a very viable fantasy starter in Week 11.
Starting to see Kareem Hunt get some run. Is he impacting Nick Chubb yet?
No, because he played as a receiver for the most part, and he had more fantasy points than Nick Chubb in PPR leagues. And I feel like that's the perfect mix of those two guys being on the field at the same time. I think we saw them play pony personnel over 40% of the time, which is when two running backs are on the field at the same time, and it really didn't affect Nick Chubb. He still saw his complement, full complement of touches, and he was still the red zone guy, although the Browns struggled mightily in the red zone. And yeah, Kareem Hunt was a guy that they used as a playmaker, got him out in space, throwing passes out of the backfield, so lined him up in the slot, lined him up out wide. Hey, he's a versatile guy, and if the Browns continue to do that, I don't think we'll have any issues starting Nick Chubb for certain, and Kareem Hunt in PPR leagues.
Okay, I'm going through the Twitter feed here. Darius Slayton, a lot of fans asking about him. The Giants are on a bye this week, but was
massive
he a
massive game?
What do you think?
I mean, here's the issue with me. They're on a bye coming up, and then you would think with 2 more weeks, you know, Evan Ingram's going to be back. I know Evan Ingram's going to be back, and then Sterling Shepard's going to be closer to coming back. And then you have Golden Tate, who's been great. So, to me, if this was a situation where the Giants are playing next week and we still had question marks about Sterling Shepard, then, yeah, Darius Slayton would be a guy that you pick up off the wire. But I'm probably not even going to put a claim for him in most of my leagues because I can't use him next week. And there's 4 teams off, and there's a chance that the target share is going to dwindle mightily, let's put it that way, once the Giants do get back on the field there in week 12.
I know Golden Tate's been really good. Are you believing in him every week now?
Yeah, he's an every week guy. The situation has really just been perfect for him. Let's put it that way, because ever since he's come back from the suspension, you know, Sterling Shepard's been banged up.
Yep.
He hasn't been available. Evan Ingram has missed a couple of games. So he, and Daniel Jones has shown a propensity to like to throw the ball to the slot. So Golden Tate has been a tremendous add off the waiver wire, or if you drafted him and sat on him for the first few weeks of the season, right now you're reaping the rewards of that decision.
Tell you one thing before I get out of here, David Johnson's time in Arizona, my friend. I'm just
dude, yeah. Dude, what I mean,
it's not good over here.
He looked like he was running with a piano on his back.
Yeah.
Like he's not right. And now you've got the Niners. And I'm already starting to do research for start him and sit him. And David Johnson's going to be my sit of the week at running back. You can't play him. You just can't. The snaps aren't there. The touches aren't there. And Kenyon Drake wasn't even good yesterday. Tampa Bay's defense is really good against the run. They're awful against the pass, but they're really good against the run. And now you got San Francisco. And I get it. Drake had a huge game against them a couple of weeks ago. I don't know if that game script is going to remain the same when they play a road game. But it sucks because David Johnson was having a pretty good season. And then the injury started him out, and he's unplayable right now. Well, not against the Niners.
If Chase said
less than 100%.
Well, and if Chase Edmonds comes back too, I think you look at Chase Edmonds as the guy here long term. The thing, Michael, is I go back to when David Johnson in his rookie season, his first 2 years here, he got run into the ground by Bruce. They used him so much. Go back and look at the number of touches he had. It was like, what are you guys doing? It was abuse. I mean, it really was. Yep. So let's go off that. Appreciate your time and insight.
It's too bad because he's such a great player. And hopefully there are better things ahead. But right now, not playable in fantasy.
See you later. Thanks, man.
See you, pal.
Take care. This is Michael Fabiano with us for the NFL Network. Good stuff. Brock Huard, college football. Is it LSU? Is it Ohio State? He saw Brock Purdy in person. I've been gushing about him forever. What did he think? And what's going on with ASU and U of A? That is next with Brock Huard. I'm Brad Sussmat. Now it's time to turn our attention on the college football front. None better than Brock Huard, Fox college football analyst. He did the Oklahoma-Iowa State game on Saturday night. I watched it from start to finish. I'll get into that in a moment. But I think today, Brock, man of many talents, please sort out on this Monday after the weekend and what LSU did to Alabama. There's no way they're not number one, correct?
Yeah, I think they're going to be number one. I think you kind of looked at the way the committee went about their work last week, some of the statements I think they made in their kind of initial, they get a few of these to make their statements, and the initial one's always curious to see and evaluate, and where does resume versus eye test versus best team, where does all that kind of fit together? But ultimately, yeah, I think when you've done something you hadn't done in 7 years, you beat Alabama, you put 48 points on the board, or whatever it was, 40-some points. I think you are worthy of that number one spot. I think Ohio State's worthy of the number two spot. I think Clemson's worthy of the number three spot. And to be honest with you, Brad, I think those three are probably a cut above just about everybody else that's chasing them.
So this leaves then Alabama needs help from what I'm seeing here. They need Auburn to beat Georgia this weekend, right? I mean, don't they need something? Because their resume is not showing me a whole lot.
No. And, you know, the eye test is pretty good, I think, over the course of the season at times. But this is not the same group on the back end of that defense. this is not the same Tua, as he's beat up. And, you know, and they're not running the ball as well as they have in the past. And, yeah, I think they absolutely need Auburn to beat Georgia and make that a really big marquee win, because they don't have many of them on that schedule this season. But, man, wasn't that fun to watch?
Yeah.
I don't know if you look at ratings or what have you, but we got our numbers, our overnights yesterday, and I think that was like a 9.8 rating, the Alabama-LSU game, which is just absurd to look at. And then the passion and the zeal and how much it matters to Ed Orgeron and those people in both of those states. And then you just feel that around the country, even if you don't have a rooting interest, you just get just sucked into just the emotion of it. What a Saturday it was.
Well, and add to that, I see PJ Fleck team surfing in the locker room after what Minnesota did to Penn State. And that's why I love college more than I love the NFL, because of the stuff that I saw on Saturday. Who's number four, though, right now, in your view? Who's the four? It can't be Alabama, can it?
I don't think I would do that. I don't think, to your point earlier about who they've beaten, I don't see a lot on there, but I really do see, Brad, in this case, three teams that just feel different. They look different. They've got just I saw Ohio State in person. I've seen Clemson in person enough the last few years. I think now have seen enough diversity out of LSU and where they've won, how they've won, the situations they've won in. So, you know, whether it's Georgia, whether it's Alabama, I'll be curious to see, you know, where Utah and Oregon end up in this thing. And, you know, count me. I picked Utah to win this thing before the season began, and count me as a believer, having seen those guys a few different times in person in their only loss of the season, but more importantly, in their big win in Seattle in getting over the hump, kind of like LSU had to get over the hump and beat Alabama. Utah had to get over the hump and beat Washington. I kind of look forward to those two hopefully battling in the title game 3 weeks from now.
Talking college football with Brock Huard, Fox college football analyst. You saw Brock Purdy in person Saturday night at Oklahoma. The kid grew up here. There's a lot of fans here of his. What did you make out of Brock Purdy? Present, what do you think his future looks like?
He's just got a lot of game. You know, I understand that you may even have some relationship with some family. I had like a friend of a friend reach out and say, yeah, this Brad Sesmat guy was saying some nice things about you. I said, oh, are you sure it was a publicly or privately?
Privately, privately.
Yeah.
It's always privately, you know. Privately, pigeon mail, right?
But yeah, Brock is, I put him in that gamer. The dude is just a gamer. You probably could go back to second grade on the playground there in Arizona, and he was winning whatever game, dodgeball, wall ball, whatever he was playing. That kid is just a gamer. And what a great fit for him with a program in Matt Campbell that's just assembled a bunch of dudes just like him that fight and claw and scratch. You know, I will say, Brad, there's some fundamental things. You remember Brandon Whedon, the old Oklahoma State quarterback?
Sure.
He wants to get in this business. So he was hanging with us in the booth and in our meetings, and it was kind of fun bouncing ideas off him. And he and I kind of said the same thing about Brock, like, man, he's got great feel. Once some of the fundamentals settle down and he just plants that back foot and just trusts the fundamentals a little bit more and grows in those fundamentals, I think he takes another step. But, man, he is fun to watch and got a whole lot of game to him.
Well, he's about the best thing to watch out here that's related to Arizona, because the season for the Sun Devils and the Wildcats, yikes.
Melted. It's melted.
Yeah.
It is melted down. I'm not surprised to see some of that dysfunction out of Tucson, to be honest with you. You know, there's just some staff upheaval that just never felt right, even when they were 4-1 or whatever it was. It just didn't relationally with Khalil Tate. It's been a rocky marriage from the very jump. And you knew that was brimming with some level of dysfunction. In Tempe, it feels different. I like that staff a lot. I like the personnel. I like the stability and things they've built from the ground level up. And to see them just fall apart, and I know the QB got beat up and was not surprised to see that, as slight as he is and what have you. But that team's been beat up in some ways, Brad, that I didn't see coming 4 weeks ago.
Yeah, they've got 22 underclassmen that are getting a lot of time. So I can make excuses for them. I do think Herm's on the right path. And I don't know about Kevin Sumlin's future, even after this season, because I just don't see where it's heading. And they had introduced the fans before the players at their homecoming game. That's never good. There was nobody in that stadium.
I don't know what to do. And let me just say, though, the one thing that does drive me nuts and that I don't buy into at all, and I see it just about every week, certainly from teams that are losing, and their SIDs put it out, wow, you know, 55% of our roster is freshmen or redshirt freshmen. Well, welcome to college football. I mean, that's what it's become. With as much transfers as we get, the great players leave. They come in early. They enroll early because they want to be there 2.5 years and get to the league. I see this every week, and it is an excuse for those teams that are losing, because basically everybody is playing with young people. That is the state of college athletics. That's the state of college football today. And to me, if you're a fan of a team and that's the constant messaging, to me that you should raise your hand and say enough. I don't want to hear about young people. That kid at Ohio State that's quarterbacking them, he transferred in this spring too.
Yeah.
And he's not had a hard time assimilating and becoming a captain. And, you know, and then true freshmen there, and that true freshman, and that true freshman that are making an impact, and they're game changers and the difference makers. You see them in college football all the time. The little tailback at Iowa State, Breece Hall, is a true freshman that's made an instant impact. So, if you hear that and that's what's getting messaged to you all the time, I would suggest try to flush that as
well
as you can.
Well, it's not being messaged to me. I guess I'm looking at what Todd Graham left here, which was a disaster in my view. And total class is being wiped out. And they had 5 linebackers on their board in March. Like, what are we doing here exactly, guys? So I'm willing to give Herm some time. Whereas in Kevin's case, I agree with you. Khalil Tate, I just can't wait. Khalil Tate feels like he's been there a decade. It's just not going well. So
now, you know what, and it's too bad Khalil Tate can't talk to Jalen Hurts at Oklahoma. And I made this point in the broadcast the other night. One thing I respect so much about Jalen is he plays to his strengths. And he's not trying to play to the next level and say, oh, I've got to play within the pocket and I've got to show them that I can throw the ball and I can do – no, malarkey. Go and use the gifts that you have and run over fools at this level and run the ball and be one of the leading rushers in the conference. And guess what? The wins will follow. And then that next level can look at you and say, yeah, maybe we need to refine it. Maybe you're not going to be a first round pick. Maybe you'll be a third round pick. But, you know, look at what the NFL is doing with different talents like Lamar Jackson. You just never know. And I really believe, Brad, if Khalil Tate from like day one would have just tuned out the outside noise and friends and family and others that would have said, oh, you got to throw it, it would simply have committed to being the guy he was when he first started running the football, it would be a very different situation down in Tucson.
Who do you have this weekend?
I have got a great one. I am heading for the first time in my life to Iowa City, Iowa, for Minnesota and PJ Fleck and the undefeated Golden Gophers for, I think, a 4 o'clock Eastern kick in Iowa City, and a game that, and a place that I've wanted to check off, and we'll get a chance to do that Saturday night.
Yeah, that he's done a great job. What a terrific story that is. And I hope the committee doesn't sit there and say, well, they didn't really play anybody in September, and, well, it's Minnesota, and they really haven't done much. If they don't jump 10, they should be in the top seven, right? I mean, come on.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. They found ways to win. They were dominant when they needed to be the last month versus bad teams. Played an incredible game against Penn State. And you know what? Honestly, and I wasn't badgering you about, you know, taking in messaging or anything. It was more to fans, Brad.
No badger. It's fine.
But to be honest with you, I think PJ Fleck in Minnesota should maybe be the case example for Herm and ASU. That it took year number three, that year one was rough, year two was up and down, a little like ASU has been, but year three it turns. And you should not have to have 4 or 5 years, because what, you know, PJ inherited and the turmoil he walked into with everything and all of the awful stuff that happened there with players and you know, the incidents and the allegations and you know, the criminal activity, it was awful. And they had to rid a ton of people out of there. But it didn't take 5 years. You know, it took him basically 2.5 to get his monumental win. And to me, that is, I think, a very fair timeline in today's college football.
Man, you are fired up today. You're on. I think what's happened here is you're not doing morning radio. So now you just bring it. And it's you sound great. You're doing great on the TV end. And I appreciate your time as always. I'll let you go off that. Thanks.
Yeah. It's called sleep.
Yeah, right.
It's amazing
when that happens. Yeah. Stunning. See you later.
Always fun, Brad. You're one of the best, and great to catch up with you.
Thanks. There's Brock Heard with us. Always good to catch up with Brock. NFL on Fox. No college football on Fox. We bounce around between Chris Spielman and Brock Heard on the Fox end of the families. Appreciate their time. Michael Fabiano and Chris Spielman and Brock Heard, all part of today's show. If you missed any part of it, you can simply replay this. It goes over and over and over for the next 24 hours. We are supported independently, meaning sponsors take care of us. Without sponsors, we don't do this, and we've been doing it for 8 years. So please, please, please support them. Jared Nielsen's our chairman of the board. Eric Sorensen, senior executive vice president of Nothing or Everything. Have a great day.